Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
In today's Dominion Embassy broadcast, we want to discuss the subject of righteousness consciousness. Righteousness consciousness, or being conscious or aware of the facts of righteousness, the spiritual fact of righteousness on this earth. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, and I quote, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you," unquote. Jesus tells us what should be our first focus in life. It is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, God has his own brand of righteousness. It is an everlasting one that Jesus brought with the kingdom of God. And this is what he wants us to live by on a daily basis. The Lord Jesus Christ is made righteousness to all who believe in him. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Therefore, to glorify him is to fully live out everlasting righteousness. Yes, living out Christ is walking in the full implication of his everlasting righteousness. And this starts, my friend, with being righteousness conscious. The kingdom of God on earth is also God's first or original arrangement for mankind. It was therefore the first thing that God introduced on earth by speaking his commanding words, quotes, "Let there be light," Genesis 1:3. The kingdom therefore is a treasure of light in you, in Christ Jesus, the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. So when Jesus Christ literally came on earth, from the very beginning, he was always speaking about the kingdom of God. By so doing, he was releasing kingdom light or kingdom understanding, like in the beginning, when God spoke into the darkness on earth, "Let there be light." Similarly, Jesus Christ, in imitating his Father, also literally came around and he was releasing light into the religious darkness that had engulfed mankind and the whole earth. Yes, through Jesus, the people who walked in darkness saw a great light, just as in the beginning when God said on earth, "Let there be light." Beloved, our Lord Jesus likened the kingdom to a treasure hidden from common sight or unpopular, but which was to be discovered and sought after. Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. It is because this treasure of light for our spiritual darkness empowers us to excel or rule in life, just as light rules over darkness in God's righteous way that pleases him. So by God's kingdom system or spiritual light that was introduced by him through Jesus the Word, God's rule and what he has ordained for you is realized in your practical life in his right way. Now, before the initial introduction of this kingdom system or light, the earth had become defaulted to formlessness or disorder, darkness, emptiness, confusion, rebellion, etc., etc. Genesis 1:2. In other words, although it was not created this way, the whole earth had become innately wrong and not right in the sight of God. Romans 8:20. This inclination to error occurred before mankind was created to have dominion in it, Genesis 1:26. So even now, my friend, error is still the program on which the earth is running. This is why what fallen man regard as righteousness, orderliness, and enlightenment fall short of God's standards of all these. Now, why do we need righteousness? We need it because practically, mankind and the earth are still under the sway of the spirit of error and wrong. 1 John 4, 4-6. So without God's intervention, all the products of fallen man on this fallen earth will continually be wrong in the sight of God. This is why the first gift that God gives to mankind is his righteousness. Romans 10:10. And this is why you need to live by God's version of righteousness, or what I call kingdom righteousness. Matthew 6:33, Romans 5:17. So, by God's righteousness, you are defaulted to get it right in God's sight. Wow. God's righteousness is to counter both the error-prone nature of fallen man and the fallen earth. That is how powerful his righteousness is. In other words, through receiving God's gift of righteousness, mankind is reprogrammed right to overcome the spirit of error and have dominion on earth as before. Hallelujah. And this is until the manifestation of the mature kingdom sons of God, who will bring in kingdom order on earth in a higher way, a higher version of kingdom order, pending the promised, and I quote, new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, unquote. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. You know, Jesus did not come to change our societies directly. He rather came to change and empower us directly. He came to change and empower human beings directly, for us to then change or rule our societies as before the fall of man. The earth is for man, my friend, to rule, and God will not take over what he has delegated to us. Psalm 115 verse 16. This is why creation is waiting for those who believe in the kingdom system of God to subliminally bring about kingdom order to it. Matthew 13:33. It is because God has authorized mankind to have dominion over the rebellious issues here. Genesis 1:28. There is a difference between righteousness and holiness. I want us to discuss righteousness and holiness in a short while. But I want you to know that there is a difference between righteousness and holiness. Holiness is being set apart or sanctified. The opposite is being common or being like everybody else. Generally, righteousness simply means to be rightly positioned either before God or men. And there are types of righteousness. There is therefore kingdom righteousness and religious righteousness. These are the two main types of righteousness: kingdom righteousness, or God's righteousness, and religious righteousness, referring to man's own version of righteousness. Jesus is the one who came with God's kingdom and his everlasting righteousness. Actually, he is God's righteousness released to overpower man's susceptibility to error. But before Jesus came in person, there was human righteousness, or righteousness of the law of Moses. These two are both religious in nature because they are only half good, being the shadows of the everlasting or kingdom righteousness. Let's talk a moment about human righteousness. Human righteousness is mankind being at his very best before God by his own standards of what is to be acceptable to God. In other words, human righteousness is man at his highest spiritual innocence, moral superlative, philanthropic best, and sincerest well-minded self. In spite of how noble and exemplary these are, the Bible calls human righteousness filthy rags. Yes, although it benefits mankind and makes us feel divine. Isaiah 64 verse 6 and Psalm 35 verse 5b. This is how falling short of the glory of God mankind is. Our best is filthy rags before Him. So the best of fallen man is worse before God. And the right and the wisest of us is foolish in God's sight. And what we regard as greatness is actually nothing before God. By comparison, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth. Let's talk about the righteousness of the law now. Righteousness of the law is another type of religious righteousness. And it is living according to the law of Moses, just as the scribes and the Pharisees did. Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 20. There are over 600 of such laws of Moses, made up of the Ten Commandments and other ceremonial laws. You know, the law of Moses is good, but not right in the sight of God. It is because man is not capable of fully obeying it in order to become righteous in God's sight. Romans 8 verse 3. Therefore, the law of Moses is meant to show to mankind that at our very best, we are congenitally incapable of meeting the righteous standards of God. The law therefore reveals and strengthens sin and its derivatives like sickness, poverty, curse, shame, confusion, disfavor, death, etc. in mankind. That is why under the law of Moses, there was consciousness of sin time and time again. It is because the law cannot end sin and its results. Hebrews 10, 1 and 2. But sin had to be ended in order for everlasting righteousness to be experienced by mankind. Sin consciousness had to give way to righteousness consciousness, my friend. And it happened. It happened once upon a time in the birth and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 tells us about the end of sin. I quote it, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Unquote. This great news was delivered by the angel Gabriel to the prophet Daniel. And in it are six transactions that were carried out and finished by and in Jesus Christ. Now these transactions are to be experienced first by Gentiles before the Jewish people as a whole. Yes, Jesus ended transgressions. He ended sins and balanced the iniquity account. Hebrews 8:12. He did this when He took on Himself the past, present, and future sins of all humanity on the cross. You know, Jesus was made sin, although He did no sin. He knew no sin, and in Him was no sin. He is so lovely, isn't He? Dear friend, Jesus was made sin on the cross, although He led a sinless life. It is so that we can be made righteous by faith in Him without practically being righteous. Indeed, if you are not righteous by faith, then Jesus was not made sin on the cross. But He was. And so, are you righteous as a believer? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Now, by this divine arrangement, Jesus finished sin. He finished sin on earth and in mankind. It is because on the cross, he went into the past and the future and took on him all the sins of all mankind from Adam to the last human yet to live. Yes, he did this once for all humans. So no sin is left. It is finished. Hallelujah.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
It is by finishing sin that Jesus brought in everlasting righteousness. Yes, he had to finish sin by being made all sin. So everlasting righteousness is Jesus's type that we receive as a gift by grace and not by our own practical efforts. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. The everlasting nature of Jesus' righteousness that you have is proof that sin is truly ended and cannot be resurrected in you if you are a believer. And everlasting means lasting forever, my friend. Everlasting means abiding always, because Jesus ended sin once for all. Therefore, my friend, God does not remember your past, present, and future sins. Hebrews 8:12. It is because Jesus rose from the dead, free from all these sins which were imputed on him. Romans 6:10. Therefore, if a believer sins, not necessarily repents or confesses, Jesus in the spirit or in heaven immediately steps in to claim the sin, because he carried it on the cross and he has a right to it as a belonging, in inverted commas, as a belonging, in inverted commas, 1 John 2:1. Beloved, Jesus is not shocked by your sin, because he had seen it in advance and he claimed it all on himself on the cross. This is so that you do not suffer the condemnation and even live in the consciousness of the sin, but of his ever abiding, everlasting, ever staying righteousness. Hebrews 10:1 and 2, Romans 4:6, Romans 8:1 and 5:1. Now let's talk about Jesus, our everlasting righteousness. Dear one, your everlasting righteousness is a person, and his name is Jesus. He is not righteous today, and tomorrow he is not. That is why your righteousness as a believer lasts forever, or is ever staying. It is because Jesus, your righteousness, is always with you. You may leave him for a while, but he will never leave you, because he is everlasting. The one who believes in the divine exchange of righteousness for sin on the cross of Christ is not even to suffer the punishment of sin. It is because Jesus Christ was punished with it till God's wrath against sin was also finished. Isaiah 53 verse 8b and Revelation 15:1 and Revelation 16:17. A believer who sins may suffer the consequences which are imposed by mankind in society, such as being imprisoned, not forgiven by people, damage to his body or image before mankind, etc., but not punishment from God. The greatest punishment for sin, my friend, is death, which basically means a separation from God. Romans 6:23. Other punishment for sin are poverty, sickness, curse, confusion, disfavor, etc., etc. In other words, if you sow sin without any intervention, and the emphasis is without any intervention, with time, you will reap disfavor, sickness, confusion, curse, poverty, and eventually death. Ecclesiastes 8:1. The law of sowing and reaping is seen in the law of sin and death. Romans 8:1 and 2. It is because death is the result of sin, just as reaping is the result of sowing. This law of sin and death was at work in humanity until Jesus, having taken all our sins on the cross, rose from death, free from the sins. That's when Jesus rose from death, a new law that cancels the law of sowing sin and reaping death emerged. This law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So Apostle Paul jubilantly wrote, and I quote, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death," unquote. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. Now, the Greek word that is translated free in our immediate quote, that is in Romans 8, 1 and 2, where Paul said, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law," free from the law of the sin and death. That word translated free in our immediate quote is also the word for exempt. In other words, whereas the law of sowing and reaping exists for all men, believers are exempted from it because they believe in the impeccable performance of Jesus for them. So, now if you are a believer, you do not have to reap the punishment for your sins because Jesus bore it to his death and resurrected with a higher life that defies the law of sin and death. Therefore, refuse to let Satan wrongly impose punishment for sin on you, my friend. Actually, now, the sin of a believer is no longer recorded in heaven's books against him, although mankind may record it. God does not record it because it was recorded on Jesus' account in advance, and Jesus paid the ultimate price to wipe it all away. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 14. Does it mean that you can freely sin? How could you? When by taking sin that was lording over you, it was no more your master or lord. So now you have a new master called Jesus the righteous, who lords over you. That is why you are disposed or prone to righteousness and not to sin if you are a believer. I will show you how to practically realize your righteous disposition. It starts by shaking off the accusations, the accuser's accusations and condemnation. My friend, this is how Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He did it by shaking off Satan's accusations and condemnation. You know, Satan was armed with the law and other written ordinances that we could not obey as fallen humans. He used the law and written ordinances to accuse and condemn us. Even now, Satan still uses these written ordinances to accuse and condemn ignorant believers if they sin. Colossians 3:15. That is why, although you should not sin, if you sin as a believer, and the word is if you sin as a believer, you should immediately remember Jesus, your replacement, who took responsibility for it in advance on the cross. It is to free you from being responsible for your sins, since he took responsibility for it many years ago. So Jesus is your sponsor. It is like somebody has lovingly agreed to sponsor your project of life. So this person pays your debt, which is practically yet to be incurred on the project in advance. The reason is that he does not want you to be focused on debts, but on the project that he has assigned to you. He knows that a consciousness of debts can stagnate and derail you from fulfilling his assignment given to you. So, if in the course of the project you incur a debt, you only refer it to the sponsor to take responsibility for it as you continue to work on the project assigned to you. That is the simple agreement between you and the project giver. We call it God's new covenant with mankind. Hebrews 8:10-12. Now, of course, Jesus is a loving, willing, and active sponsor who does not want you to be bothered the least over your debts. So, as soon as you incur it, he steps up to claim it, because in his foreknowledge about the life project, he knows where you are likely to have debts. This is in order to free you to continue your project without having to focus on debts. Wow! The debts I am referring to here, my friend, is your past, your present, and your future sins, which Jesus took on himself on the cross. He frees you to be righteousness conscious and not sin conscious. Sin is a distraction, my friend. So, do not focus on sin. Dear one, a focus on sin is an important tool of the devil to stop your purpose in life. You know, sin has always been a distraction to man's assignment of rulership. That is why Jesus came to take responsibility for it in advance, and he gave us his everlasting righteousness. It is so that we can live and focus on God's purpose of kingdomization or rulership that he assigned to us without being distracted. So, what you do is to shrug off the devil's accusation and condemnation, because you are ever righteous with Jesus, your replacement and sponsor's righteousness or riches. Dear believer, the righteousness of Jesus that you have from the cross is a position or status that is forever. Hallelujah! It is a status. Everlasting righteousness is thus a positional righteousness that lasts forever and so cannot be lost. If a sinner does a righteous thing, like giving billions of United States dollars to the church or the poor, it does not change his sinner status to a righteous one, does it? No, it does not. Similarly, if a believer, and the word is if a believer, or a righteous person sins, it does not change his righteous status to a sinner status. Beloved, this is how secure you are in Christ. Everlasting righteousness is a state or status that God puts you into forever when you are born again. Hallelujah. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.